Beep, 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 beep. Beep, beep, beep. Transmitting from Zucchini Land, it's Steve, Jack, and Sam, the Zucchini Brothers, live at the clubhouse.
Let's all get together, have a little fun. Let's all get together, dance under the sun. Shake your head and body round, everybody must get down. Shake your head and body round, everybody must get down.
Get down on the radio in the clubhouse with the Zucchini Brothers. Yeah, going to different places, doing different things.
A chorus of early morning songbirds fills the air, encouraging green buds to sprout from tree branches here in Zucchini Land, where reality steps aside, opening the door to one's imagination, where seasons change from week to week with the promise of new adventure, where hopes and dreams dance with the magic of music. It is here that we find the Zucchini Brothers, Jack, Steve, and Sam, at Bud's Diner with Dad.
So what do you boys want to have for breakfast?
Another hour of sleep?
Yeah, we usually sleep late on the weekend, Dad.
Yeah.
Well, I wanted to make sure we got here in time for the early bird special. You gotta get up early for that.
Morning comes a-calling and I'm up to start the day. Hello, Mr. Sunshine, I'm half awake to say. Birds are singing, church bells ringing to bring the morning in. My, oh my, I wonder why or even where to begin. I'm an early bird, and I'm still waking up. I'm an early bird to see this day begin. I'm an early bird, but you don't have to talk to me. I'm an early bird that's rubbing his eyes to see.
Junior, wake up, it's time. I made your porridge for you for breakfast, y'all. Come on, eat it now.
Check on the steps to read the news, but it ain't even there. Paper boy's still home in bed. Well, I'm out sitting here. Going back inside for a cup of joe to find the last drop gone. The store's still closed cause the sun's hardly rose. How was I to have known? I'm an early bird and I'm still waking up. I'm an early bird to see this day begin. I'm an early bird, but you don't have to talk to me. I'm an early bird that's rubbing his eyes to see.
That was a song from the Zucchini Brothers.
Okay, boys, what are you going to have for breakfast? Sam?
Either scrambled eggs with toast or six pancakes. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
How about you, Steven?
Well, I'm not sure either. But I think I'm leaning towards 14 pieces of French toast and six bagels.
Oh, you won't be able to walk after that.
Yeah.
Well, here comes Bud to take our order right now. Yes. Hurry up. Make a decision, boys.
Hey. It's the word of the day. Hey, it's the word of the day.
Today's word is...
decision.
Spelling, please.
D-E-C-I-S-I-O-N.
Definition, please.
Noun, the act or process of deciding. Conclusion or resolution reached after consideration. Synonyms or words that mean the same thing are settlement,
well, that's a...
resolution,
I resolve.
Or verdict. Sentence, please.
Jones, I've come to a decision.
What have you decided, sir?
Our company will continue to make blue teddy bears, but on the 1st of next month, we will introduce our new line of purple ones. Let's celebrate with some breakfast.
Ah, another beautiful day, huh? What shall I do first? Ah, I know. When morning comes, I need some fuel to make the day go right. My muscles, bones, heart and brain have whopping appetite. My tummy grumbles as I stumble towards my first meal of the day. I need a yummy breakfast, so join me as I say. The granola.
I'll put it in a bowl of
pancakes,
berries,
and orange juice.
How about some toast? Toast is the most. Eggs would really please me.
Please make them over easy.
Waffles
with syrup.
A big glass of milk.
How about some fruit? Fruit is a hoot.
Song from Blue's Big Musical Movie Soundtrack. Oh, here comes Bud.
Well, well, well. If it isn't the Zucchini Brothers and Mr. Zucchini. How you doing, boys?
Fine, good.
How you doing, Mr. Z?
Fine, good, good. We're here for your early bird special, Bud. Still got that going on, don't you?
Sure do. Can I get you some coffee, Mr. Z? How's about some juice for the boys? Oh,
actually, I'd like coffee too, please, Bud.
Yeah, Bud, make that one more for me too. Yeah.
Coffee ain't good for young people. It'll stunt your growth. So how about some orange juice? Steve?
Yes, please.
How about you, Jack? Orange juice?
Okay.
So that's three orange juices and one coffee. What'll it be for breakfast?
Well, I'm thinking maybe I can just put...
Well, I know what I'd like. Pancake special.
Oh, you can't beat that. All the pancakes you can eat.
Ooh, I'll have that too.
I'm gonna eat at least 12.
Okay. Pancake specials all around. They should be up in a few minutes.
Thank you, Bud. Boys, have I ever told you the tale about the pancakes that the old logger Bill Greenfield used to eat?
Story time. Bill Greenfield's Breakfast from Joe Bruschak's Adirondack Tall Tales.
Now, as anyone who has worked in the woods can tell you, there's no meal in a day more important to a logger than his breakfast. A man has to be fully fueled in order to tromp off into the big woods for a good 8 hours of work before sitting down with his dinner sack for his midday meal. And as the greatest logger of his time, Bill Greenfield always had to have the biggest and the best breakfast. Now, Bill always prided himself on having a cook who knew his business, a cook who was proud of his work. By the time the crew piled out of their bunks to sit down at the table, Bill's cook would have already been up 36 hours before dawn just to make that morning feed. A typical morning meal would consist of about 10 pounds of salt pork, 3 pecks of potatoes, 6 dozen eggs, 3 dozen flapjacks, and 12 pies. And that was just for one small-to-average logger. A logger would also glug down a good 5 gallons of strong coffee, just enough to get his eyes open, so to speak. Now, strong coffee in the Adirondacks, by the way, means something more than strong coffee down in the flatlands. Down there, coffee is strong when you stick a spoon in it and the spoon stands up. In the Adirondacks, coffee is strong when you put a spoon in it and the spoon dissolves. When they first introduced motorized vehicles into the woods, they were using some of that Adirondack coffee for a time in place of battery acid, but they had to give up on it when it started eating the bottom out of the batteries. Bill's cook always prided himself on making the lightest flapjacks in creation. They was so light that a hummingbird's tongue would have weighed less than a stack of them piled 2 foot high. But as everybody knows, no matter how good things are, some folks will always complain. And sure enough, one morning, some of the men went jawing on about how the pancakes were overly heavy that day. That made the cook mad. And he resolved that the next morning he would make flapjacks that was so feathery no man would ever complain about their not being light enough. He was up for 37 hours that night, getting ready for breakfast and mixing and remixing his pancake mix, adding more bacon powder to the fixings to make them flapjacks perfect. Next morning, when the men came in for breakfast, they didn't see any pancakes. One of the men took a peek across the dog run between the kitchen and the dining hall and let out a howl. Jehoshaphat, he yelled. Look out to the cook shack. Well, the men looked, And what did they see but one perfect pancake after another floating out of the window of the cookhouse and up into the air. Every time the cook finished a pancake and put it on the tray, that pancake, which was lighter than air, would just waft up into the breeze and drift up toward the clouds. They never would have gotten to taste any of those pancakes if Bill Greenfield hadn't grabbed his shotgun and started shooting them out of the air. He had to use up 10 boxes of shells, but the men said it was worth it. For after they got done picking out the buckshot, those were the lightest and finest flapjacks ever enjoyed by man or beast. Now, after that particular morning, the cook never made flapjacks quite that light again, but he made them so good that no one could ever get enough. One morning, in fact, by the time Bill reached the table, all the flapjacks was completely gone. "I vow," Bill said, "that from now on in, there are going to be enough flapjacks to go around." Then Bill took to studying the situation. He studied, and he studied, and when he was done studying, he figured he had figured out the problem. The problem was that there just wasn't a big enough griddle to make up a sufficiency of pancakes. So Bill went down to the ironworks in Albany and had them make up a special griddle to his specifications. It took as much iron as would have gone into 2,227½ plows, but when they was done, they had a griddle that looked just right. It wouldn't fit on a freight car to ship it up to the mountains, but Bill was prepared for that. He hitched up his big blue ox named Babe, a name which a young fellow by the name of Bunyan, I believe, would later give to his own blue ox, which was, truth be told, just a mite smaller and weaker than Bill's Babe. And then Bill headed down for the city. When he got there, he had to turn that griddle on its side, drill a hole in the center, which you could fill in later, and stick in a hub. Then he hitched up Babe and drew that griddle right up into the mountains to his camp just south of Tupper Lake. Now, whilst he was fetching that griddle, Bill had his crew working to make a place for it. They cleared 12 acres of woods and leveled the ground, and when Bill got there, he unhitched the ox from one side of the hub and had Babe give it one more pull in just such a way that that griddle started spinning. It spun so fast it dug the ground right out to a depth of a good 40 feet, and when it flopped down over that hole, neat as can be, all those loggers had to do was dig tunnels in from the sides so they could pile the wood underneath to heat the grill. They stacked 141 cords of wood there, and then they started it burning. That grill heated up as nice as can be. Then 4 dozen loggers tied fatty slabs of bacon to their feet and skated across that griddle to grease it up good. Bill's cook and his helpers had made up the flapjack mix inside of an old water tower that Bill had set up near the griddle. Chicken wire was strung over the top of that grill just high enough so the cook and his helpers wouldn't burn themselves whilst they poured on that flapjack mix. There was no way they could flip those big flapjacks, so they just put enough popcorn in so as those pancakes would turn themselves when they got hot enough. Bill had made up some harpoons with a good strong rope fastened to them. Whenever a flapjack looked to be done, they would harpoon it and drag it off the grill. Well, by the time they were done, they had enough pancakes to satisfy everyone, even Bill. To this day, folks in the Adirondacks talk about that big griddle of Bill's, and for years, people would make pilgrimages to see it. But when the big war came and the country was short of iron, Bill's patriotic descendants donated that griddle to the war effort, and it was used to make 12 Sherman tanks. And the hole where that griddle was filled in with rain over the years, and folks today call it Round Lake.
Pancakes for you, and Mr. Z.
Oh, that's great.
Bud.
These will only take a minute to eat.
Yeah, my stomach's very big.
Here's a little riddle. For those who use a griddle. What's flat across the middle? Why don't you just try some? I can't tell you why. Everybody likes them cause they're pancakes, pancakes. Sunny little tan cakes, stack them high right to the sky, and I'll be happy until I die. Oh, pancakes, I love you so.
Cakes, I love you.
Yes, I do, yes, I do.
Cowboys in the stirrup, eat them hot with syrup. Makes them glad they were up. trail. No matter what our course is, whenever they get too stale, we feed them to our horses, cause they're pancakes, pancakes, they're sunny little tan cakes. Stack them high right to the sky, and I'll be happy until I die. Pancakes, I love you so.
Pancakes, I love you.
Yes, I do, yes, I do.
Folks, I'll tell you, I tried eggs and bacon. I tried English muffins and those other things they're making. But even then I knew I was only faking. Cause pancakes, I love you the best. For breakfast, lunch, or dinner, they'll always be a winner. They'll never make you thinner. But you'll be happy just the same.
Happy, happy, happy.
Pancakes going once.
Once.
Pancakes going twice.
That's twice.
Pancakes.
One, two, three.
Times out three times just as nice. Because they're pancakes, pancakes. Those whoa, sunny little tan cakes. Stack them high right to the sky. Whoa. And I'll be happy until I die. Oh, pancakes.
Whoa.
I love you. Pancakes.
Pancakes.
Can't get enough of you. Oh, pancakes.
This is Zucchini Clubhouse News with a news update.
Thank you. I'm Bob Haskey, and we're all listening to the Zucchini Brothers live at the clubhouse. And we just heard a song from Tom Knight and Elizabeth McMahon. At the top of the news today, downtown Zucchini Land is somewhat famous for its street musicians. And today there is a man who's playing a rubber band, and he's attracting lots of attention. Carrot O'Sell is at the scene right now. Carrot!
Carrot O'Sell here, live downtown Zucchini Land. And folks, we've had street musicians down here from time to time, but I've never seen anything like this. Let's get some comments on this interesting musical show. Sir?
He's incredible. Listen to his tone. You ever heard anything like it?
No, I haven't. Ma'am, what do you think of the rubber band, man?
It's modern music is what it is. No melody, just a beat. That's what they're going for these days. Hey, don't you know any nice songs?
Here's one of the downtown merchants, Miss Sweet Tooth. What do you think of the rubber band, man?
Yes, Coward. He's quite a showman. But frankly, he's distracting patrons away from the sweet shop. My sales are down 20% today.
Sorry about that. Mr. Yakety Yak, you're down here all the time. What do you think of the rubber band man's music?
Well, he's great, man. You know, he's neat with the beat.
Uh-huh.
But I thought I had this gig down here.
Well, you...
To me, he's a little near.
Mr. Yakety Yak, you seem to also have your fans down here. Back to you, Bob.
Interesting instrument, but I'm not sure what to think. Thank you, Coward. It's time for a weather update with Zane Finch. Zane.
Well, hello, folks. Spring is showing its happier side here in Zucchini Land with sunny skies. Tomorrow, spring will show its slightly moody but not altogether unhappy side by being partly cloudy. Back to you, Bob.
Thank you, Zane. That's all the time we have for the news now. Hope you'll join us later. Bye-bye.
Rubber band. There's a rubber band that plays tunes out of tune in the library garden Sunday afternoon, while a little chappie waves a golden wand. Rubber band. In 1912 I was so handsome and so strong, my moustache was stiffly waxed and 1 foot long, and I loved a girl while you played tea time tunes. Dear rubber band, you're playing my tune out of tune. Rubber band, won't you play a haunting theme again for me, while I eat my scones and drink my cup of tea. The sun is warm, but it's a lonely afternoon. Rubber band, we'd have played in library parks throughout the land, and one Sunday afternoon I'd find my love. Rubber band, in the 1418 war I
That was David Bowie.
Sam, could you pass the syrup, please?
Sure, here you go.
Thank you.
Thanks for breakfast, Dad.
Yeah, thanks, Dad.
Sure. My daddy used to take me out to Bud's Diner for the early bird special when I was a boy, too.
Wow. He owned this restaurant when you were a kid? How old is Bud, Dad? 102?
Oh, no, no.
112?
Yeah,
16? No, no. Bud's daddy owned this restaurant before Bud did. It's a family business that goes way back.
Oh.
Hi, guys. Hello, Mr. Z.
Hi, Susan.
How you doing, Susan?
I'm fine, thanks. Early bird pancake specials. I think that's what we're going to get, too.
Oh, that's probably over by now, my dear. You have to get here really early for that.
Yeah.
That's funny. Bud told my dad that he calls it the early bird special, but it goes on all day long on the weekends.
Oh.
So we sleep in and get here whenever we want.
Hey.
Is that so? Oh, well. Good thing we got up early anyway. Now we've got the whole day ahead of us.
Mr. Z, would you like to hear a quote?
Sure.
The quote of the day is...
Wisdom begins in wonder. Newburgh Beacon Bridge on Interstate 84.
Hey, Dad, did you ever wonder how the first pancake was invented?
Yeah. Can't say I have, Stephen, but I'm sure the answer's out there somewhere.
Well, maybe we can find it by looking in our book about inventions when we get back to the clubhouse.
Yeah. I don't know, Steve. I've looked through every page of that book, and I can't remember seeing anything about pancakes.
Well, if we can't find the answer at home, I bet we can find it in the library.
Yeah, it probably has lots of books about pancakes.
Yeah. Yeah,
we'll check the circle section.
Yeah, or the O section.
Yeah.
Eat the center of a pancake first, and it kind of looks like the letter O. See?
Check it out.
Yeah. Boys eat.
O, like a circle you are round. O, like a hole in the ground. Round as a moon or a birthday balloon. O, how I like the way you look. Lots of food we'll cook, we'll put it here on this plate. Like an O, it is shaped, I said, oh.
Song from the Zucchini Brothers.
Now, let's find out who invented the pancake.
Clubhouse phone.
I got it.
Zucchini Brothers Clubhouse, Sam speaking.
For quality assurance, this call will be monitored by a telemarketing coach.
Hello?
Hello, my name is Veronica Voinke, and I'm calling on behalf of Well Grounded Footwear. Oh. And for an unlimited time only, we're offering a very concrete price of $19.95 on our professional-grade foot cement.
Excuse me?
I'm sure you've experienced slippery shoe.
I have?
Suggest that the customer needs this product.
That's right. Our professional-grade foot cement will help to keep your shoes on. Guaranteed no more slippery shoe for just $19.95.
Excuse me, is this Amy the telemarketer?
What was your first clue?
Well, I wasn't sure Vroinke was a real last name.
You've never met anyone named Vroinke?
Never.
Pitch the product again.
Have you ever experienced slippery shoe?
Well, sometimes when it's raining, my shoes kind of slide around.
What about when it's nice and sunny?
My shoes usually stay put.
Then you probably don't need foot cement.
Not on a nice sunny day.
How about a nice sunny song from the Beatles?
I need to laugh, and when the sun is out, I've got something I can laugh about. I feel good in a special way. I'm in love and it's a sunny day.
Good day, sunshine. Good day, sunshine. Good day, sunshine.
We take a walk. The sun is shining down, burns my feet as they touch the ground. Good day, sunshine. Good day, sunshine. Good day, sunshine. Then we lie beneath the shady tree. She knows she's looking fine. I'm so proud to know that she is mine. Good day, sunshine. 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 Good day, sunshine.
That's our show. We'd like to say hello to you if you listen to us on stations like
KHPU in Brownwood, Texas.
Hello!
If you'd like any information about the Zucchini Brothers, our concerts, our products, or anything you've heard on this show, or just to say hello, you can always go to www.zucchinibrothers.com. That's one word, and it's spelled ZUCCHINIBROTHERS. Keep those emails coming and look for show number
1312. And click on the fun stuff icon to learn how to make breakfast cookies.
The Zucchini Brothers Live at the Clubhouse is produced, recorded, and edited by Sam Zucchini. And written by Jack Zucchini, Susan Meyer, and Sam Zucchini. The Clubhouse music librarian is Steve Zucchini. Today's special guest was Amy Helm. This show is a presentation of Zucchini Productions.
Let's sing it.
Sweaters and cheese. Sweaters and cheese, sweaters and cheese and fudge.
The inventor of the pancake.
Oh, we gotta find out, don't we?
The razorbill is a black seabird with white underparts and black head. Its dark bill, crisply marked in white, has a blunt, rounded tip. It stands a head taller than its cousin, the Atlantic puffin. Razorbills nest in colonies, principally on the coast of Iceland, in crevices among boulders. To feed, they make wing-propelled dives to hunt small fish, sometimes reaching depths below 300 feet. Pairs usually mate for life. But perhaps the most remarkable thing about razorbills is their synchronized swimming. Before they lay eggs in summer, they take part in two different group social behaviors. In one, the razorbills swim round and round in a tight mass, then dive at